The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Happy birthday, Patricia Heaton. This is our special Patricia Heaton birthday episode of My Brother, Me, and Advice Show for the Modern Era. And also, also Chaz Bono.
Did you just Google Wikipedia, and then on Wikipedia, did you Google birthdays on March 4th?
This is our Bono Heat episode. Bono Heat honoring Chaz Bono and Patricia
Chaz Bono.
Chaz Bono, Patricia Heaton.
Do you think? But I bet you Patricia Heaton would fucking hate Chaz Bono because she's a very close-minded.
She seems very conservative to me.
Yeah,
she is. Is she the mom from Tool Time Show?
Yeah, she's mom from Tool Time, and she is mom from The Middle, but not mom from Malcolm in the Middle. Common mistake.
Really? What a small world.
I know.
And who is Chaz Bono from?
Chaz Bono is from Mermaids and Sonny and Cher.
Okay.
Also Rick Perry. So it's a cool day. March 4th here on My Brother, Me. It's sort of our Patricia Heaton, Chaz Bono, Rick Perry themed episode. So all of our questions will in some way have to do with those three celebrities. If you don't see the connection, you're probably just not
the first person to respond with an email that lists the connection between all of the emails and either Bono, Heaton, or Perry.
Oh, I got it.
Griffin, you can't participate because you work for the show.
But first, I know the answer.
But you can't say it.
The three of them fucked that one time altogether.
Well, what does that have to do with any of the questions we're about to answer? Unless all of the questions are about that time when Rick Perry, Chaz Bono, and Patricia Heaton fucked.
Yesterday, and as long as we're talking big news stories, recently, Dennis Rodman traveled to North Korea to meet with Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. And the headline, the big opinion, the popular reaction from media critics is that he did not perform well. The CNN headline is Rodman fouls out in North Korea. And I would just like to join with my media brothers and sisters in our disbelief that Dennis Rodman did not handle international diplomacy with North Korea particularly.
Our final hope has failed us.
Our last chance. Like sending Bruce Willis to destroy the meteor in Armageddon, Dennis Rodman has failed us.
Is it possible that he did like a passable job, but he just really wanted to use that fouled out pun?
I mean, just showing up is half the thing, isn't it? And like, nobody else has showed up. How come, hey, Obama, give him a fucking call. Obama, why don't you give them a fucking call and maybe talk it over? They have nukes, guys. I'm spooked. Spooked about their nukes.
We're nuke spooked. And we just want you to pick up the phone and call that little guy.
Why don't you fucking give him a ring?
Listen, he's adorable. But he's probably just as scared as we are. You know, he's more afraid of us than we are of him.
Right.
Except that we're really afraid of him.
Mm-hmm. Not as afraid of I am as Dennis of I... Let me start over. My fear of them and their nukes, my nuke spookedness, is not nearly as crazy high as my general Dennis Rodman discomfort.
Phobia.
My Dennis comfort. Even seeing that fucking guy, it's not great. It's like he's like
it's
his face
a bad
is like
situation.
He looks like he survived a trap from one of the Saw movies. It's rough stuff.
What if he had rolled up and just been, like, the most amazing diplomat and, Kim Jong would have walked out going, I'm sorry. I see it now.
Rodman on North Korea. We cool. He says, apparently, we cool. We cool with North Korea. He fixed it. They fixed it all. This is an advice show where we take your queries and turn them alchemy-like into wisdom.
Here's my first advice. Obama, pick up the phone.
Just pick it up. Let's rip off the top and guzzle it down. Hi, I'm a 22-year-old girl, and I have a problem with what I call nerd rage. Seems to be getting in the way of my dating life. Guys don't seem to like it when I let it out, but it's almost involuntary. When someone brings up an X-Men movie, I start going off on 20-minute tangents without realizing I'm even doing it, or getting into hours-long arguments over who would win between Loki and the Hulk. I've tried dating not nerdy guys to avoid the arguments, but I would die a little inside every time a Doctor Who reference falls on deaf ears. What should I do? Should I tone down the nerdiness, or just keep waiting for David Tennant to whisk me away? That's from Alonzi in Charlotte, North Carolina. Listen, we're all waiting for that day.
Yeah, we all want David Tennant to roll up, even if it's just like a friend romance.
We are all happily engaged or married, and if Tennant knocked down the door, we could not say no.
Justin, Quarky, Son of Adventure. Like, all right, David.
Whoa.
Justin, get him more books. Get him more spaceship, Justin. We're going on an adventure.
I can honestly say that if David Tennant walked in the house, I would get super, like, little puppy excited, and I'd look at Teresa, and she would just kind of go like, go ahead. Yeah. And she'd understand. Yeah. She knows
that. She would sing a refrain from Jolene, but he would
pick
you anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Just FYI, let me go ahead and preface this by saying I don't think that this is, like, because you're a girl having nerd rage. I think that anybody who does this, it's kind of a turn-off.
Yeah, it can be a bit of a turn-off. Yeah. It's, you know, there's so many real things to be upset about. Like, North Korea. Dennis Rodman's over there messing that up. Like, get angry about that. That's a real
thing. There's, like, social issues and stuff that if you bring it up, everyone's going to go, oh, yeah. I agree, too. I'm also mad about that.
The problem that I've found consistently with nerd, you know, arguments or what have you, is depending on the setting, you're almost always alienating somebody. There's almost always someone who doesn't know the source material as well as you, or, like, is completely oblivious, and that can make for a kind of unwelcoming social experience for anybody. I mean, I love my nerdy escapism as much as the next guy, but I find that it can have kind of a chilling effect on your social engagement. Well,
I also find that in my life that it's like timing is everything. Like, yeah, I've had real long, debates with people about who was the best Doctor Who, or about, you know, the Superman movies or the Batman movies. Lots of arguments about Avatar the cartoon versus Avatar the movie, I don't do it every conversation I have. Like, I have the one friend that I have my Doctor Who discussions with. I got the friend that I talk about, you know, cartoons with. I have a friend I talk about comic books with. And then even that is maybe, like, 5% of the time. You know, there's an appropriate time when that conversation happens organically. And not like, oh, I see that you own Wolverine Origins. Now let me tell you why that movie sucks. You know?
Yeah, I think it's the negativity that I have a problem with.
Come to your guys' houses and duct tape your butt cheeks together.
Why is
fucking nerd lords?
Okay.
What are you even talking about? I don't party on these kinds of, because it's.
Is there a Hot Topic if I was talking about for Mario Brothers that says "Don't hate the player, hate the game"? You're welcome, Hot Topic. Go on, Griffin.
What I'm saying is, if it wasn't Doctor Who, or if it wasn't, you know, comic books, if it was sports, or if it was wine, or if it was sport wine, which is a new kind of wine that I'm doing. It's kind of like Gatorade. It's kind of like the Gatorade.
But it gets you messed up.
Yeah, it gets you really fucked up. So it's not good for, like, if you have to throw or catch the football, or really run into anybody. It's still in R&D. Anyway, it's snobbishness, regardless of what it is. And, like, some people can party on that. But, like, even if they are of equal level nerdiness than you, is that really how you want to, like, found a relationship?
So your point being, Griffin, it's not content.
It's not the content, it's the tone.
If you're like a fan of a specific baseball team, right, and then somebody brings up baseball and you launch into this half hour long diatribe about why the Cincinnati Reds are the greatest baseball team and everybody else sucks, and you're like really heated and angry about it, like nobody's gonna like that.
No.
Especially people sitting around you going, yeah, I don't care about baseball at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody cares about baseball. Fewer people care about Doctor Who.
I have to see the math on that. Griffin, can you read us a Yahoo question?
Yeah, sure. I can do that. This one was sent in by Ira Ray.
Are you Ira Ray? I'm on co-meds. I'm sorry.
I know, but I just had this moment of like sheer horror. Where I went, what if he doesn't do it? And I've become Pavlovian, like trained to be like, but we, hold on, he'd say it.
Yeah. I hear it in my sleep now. I hear it when people say things that sound like Ira Ray, which is weird. Anyway, thank you,
Ira. Do you have an IRA? Who wants to know?
It's by Yahoo Answers user Wolf Runa, who asks, who would win in a fight between the dad in the Wonder Years and the dad in Happy Days, and why? They both rule a strict house, but who'd win in a fight between the two behemoths?
The best! Oh, God. Speaking of nerd rage, like, too much time has been spent figuring out who would win in a fight, like Superman and the Hulk. We need to get more into, like, who would win in a fight, Wilson from Home Improvement or Comet the dog?
Wilson would beat Comet to death with his own hands.
So who we got? Dad from Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And
Jack... Jack Wonder Years. Papa Cunningham.
Papa Cunningham is Tom Bosley, correct?
I didn't watch any TV that was on the air before Nashville.
It's the Boz. It's the Boz, right?
Okay.
It's the Boz. Okay. And then you got the...
Come on,
Indomitable Dan Laria as the dad from the Wonder Years. And he is a big... I mean,
I watched that show late. I watched that show in, like, college. And he fucking scared me. He was scary. He's a scary man.
I haven't seen a lot of Happy Days, but I want to know what episodes this person is watching where they're like, Tom Bosley runs a strict house.
He's running a tight ship.
God, Tom Bosley is tight-fisted.
Everybody gets one. You get one more and you're out.
Do you remember the episode where Tom Bosley just beat the shit out of Fonzie for leaving the light on in the bathroom?
He's not even his son. That's a tight household, Mr. Cunningham.
Crazy.
I think Wonder Years' dad would eat him alive.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Dan Laria plays Vince Lombardi.
Okay, but you guys, Bosley is clearly more cunning, Ham, and so he's going to win
Battle of Wills.
I actually didn't realize until about halfway through that that's where I was going with it.
But then you followed it.
But I went with it. I took that rabbit hole.
Can I come at you with this? Uncle Phil versus... I can't remember Reginald Bell Johnson's character's name for Family Matters, but I can remember
his
name
is
Reginald
Bell Johnson.
Carl Winslow. Oh, God.
It's Uncle Phil, because here's the thing. It was always, not even under the surface, that Uncle Phil had a violent streak. He threw DJ Jazzy Jeff like 20 yards a day.
For all of the great work Will Smith did on that series of making African-Americans non-threatening, Uncle Phil was right behind him undoing it, moment by moment.
Just throwing DJ Jazzy Jeff.
I'm a white suburban guy. I'm trying to not be afraid of you, and Uncle Phil is throwing your people. He is launching African Americans at his front door.
In the years that I've watched this show, it has only just now occurred to me that the neighbors of Uncle Phil and his family, about once a week, are looking out their window to see a scrawny black man being launched out the door. What do they think is going on in that house?
How does Uncle Phil figure out that Will is the one making them look bad in their zhuzhy neighborhood?
Right.
Like, Phil is trying to blend in Bel Air, and meanwhile, he's throwing black people out his front door.
And there was an episode, if I remember correctly, where Uncle Phil sits on a rabbit and kills it.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying, that's scary as shit.
Oh, okay.
Carl Winslow never sat on a rabbit.
despite the fact that Reginald Vell Johnson, as TV's Carl Winslow, is armed and dangerous because he's a fucking police officer.
Uh-huh.
You think that Uncle Phil's sitting power
when
is
he,
enough to...
When,
I
when,
never
when
saw...
When Carl Winslow is ejecting Steve Urkel from the house, he uses his words.
Yeah, and to be fair, I never saw Carl Winslow's hand where his hip be at. So
that would have been a great episode if like half the episode was just him spent like in therapy filling out paperwork for having to discharge his weapon to kill a rabbit that was on the couch.
Maybe you didn't fucking watch Die Hard.
Yeah,
which is part of the Winslowverse.
It is in the Winslowverse. I convinced myself of this, by the way.
I mean, he plays that cop in like 19 movies.
Oh, that's 19? Real nice, Trav. Real nice. What?
I mean, that funny
that
buddy.
That cop,
he's like,
really?
He's just afraid to shoot people.
What other than Die Hard and Die Hard 2?
Oh, God. Now you can put me on the spot.
Yeah, I put you on the spot because you're talking out of your ass.
No, you also did it in Family Matters.
Family Matters, the movie.
There were like 100 episodes of that. He was a cop.
You can
all
think
of them.
Die Hard as being a long and confusing episode of Family Matters.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was also that cop in Ghostbusters.
I think that was a ghost. Dead Carl Winslow.
I'm just going over his IMDb page right now, looking for any kind of character that's just listed as cop who's afraid to shoot gun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get back to you.
I had someone on my paper route when I was younger. His last name was Bosley, and I convinced myself that it was Tom Bosley living a life of privacy. In Huntington, West Virginia.
In Huntington, West Virginia.
Tom Bosley just couldn't handle the attention and paparazzi anymore. All of the getting out of the limo shots where his vagina was showing, he just couldn't stand the attention.
All the Father Dowling heads chasing him around, trying to get their pick with Father Dowling.
All the sex tapes, and drug scandals. Tom Bosley just could not handle it anymore. Oh, Tom Bosley, you're missed.
Yeah, I do. I do miss Tom Bosley. I guess that is one advantage that Dan Lauria has over Tom Bosley is being corporeal. I guess this is one thing that's good for about Dan Lauria is that he's alive, so that that is helpful.
I mean, that's a big plus.
But as angry as he is, though, like, counting down the days over here, that takes a toll on a man's heart, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Especially when a man is that big and that threatening. Okay, semifinals.
Hey, we're gonna bracket this. Madness, we're doing it.
To be fair, Dan Lauria in 2014 is starring in a movie called Icky, an American Dog Story as Paul Puccini. So he probably wishes that that Tom Bosley had killed him.
Every day
he wishes Tom Bosley.
What could have been?
Why did you finish the job, Tom? So here's another question from one of our users. Recently, I've been feeling that I think about things too much. Sometimes I find I'm unable to take action because I'm busy thinking about what might happen. Case in point, I recently helped my friend DJ a dance party, and a girl I don't know came up and tried to dance with me. I wasn't dancing before, and rather than getting out on the floor and having a good time, I thought about all the reasons why I shouldn't or why it wouldn't be appropriate. Pretty soon, this girl makes some excuses and left. I wasn't able to have any fun because I was thinking too hard. Is this a problem, or is it just a personality trait? And that's from Introspective in Indiana.
Before we get to the question, I want to say that the thing that caught me is all the excuses why you shouldn't. Like, what was it? Was it like a kid's party?
That's a pretty good fucking excuse. Were there snakes on the dance floor?
This party is at McDonald's. We're in the play place. What are you talking about?
The floor is lava.
I mean, yeah, okay, yes, it is a personality trait. And personality traits, I think, are only a problem if they're impacting your happiness. I mean, that's when they become...
I guess it depends on, is this you saying that you think things through? Or is this you saying you have a hard time making decisions because you're thinking about every different possible outcome?
That's not a bad trait to have. You just have to know that when an attractive person is stranger is dancing with you that you have to shut that voice fuck up.
I feel like this is an issue that like I have in real life, or like I did, but like I've been making a very like strong effort over the last 2 or 3 years to stop doing it, and my life is like 1,000 times better. Because every so often, that's a good thing. Like when it's deciding how you want to do your health insurance or a payment plan for something. Yeah, like
I want to meet someone who's impetuous about their health insurance. I don't know. Let's throw caution to the wind. PPO, PP. I have no idea. Let's do it.
Just do it. Sign me up. Do I want a new car? Sure, I do.
Oh no! Whoops! I got dog insurance on myself. That's okay. I'm gonna have like, a luscious coat. To,
if someone's like, "Hey, you want to go see a movie?" Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, don't sit there and go, oh, I don't know if I see that movie. Well, I'd be too tired tonight. And I was saving money, and that extra $8, maybe. Like, if you want to go, dude, do it. If you want to dance with the girl, do it. Don't sit there and go, well, what if it turns out that she has a boyfriend, and then he beats me up, and I break my leg, and I lose my track scholarship, and then I end up homeless. Like, that's.
No, if you have a track scholarship, you need to be. You need to fucking keep your head on a fucking swivel. Because everything out there wants to break your ankles.
I'll tell you one thing that I've been doing lately that has kind of helped me deal with this, because I absolutely have a problem with this. It's negativity. I remind myself that basically everything bad that has ever happened to me, I never have seen that shit coming. Like, I never think, like, something bad's coming, and then it does. I think everything's cool, and then it gets very bad. So, like, the very fact that you have even thought about a negative outcome means that that's probably not the one that's going to happen. So, like, just get over it. Just go with it. And are bad things going to happen? Absolutely. Just remind yourself.
A ship in harbor is safe. But that's not what ships were made for. They were made for sailing to adventure with Captain Ron.
You are a ship, and Captain Ron is beckoning you to adventure, and you need to just pile on board.
Well, you could have had this lady on your mast.
Wait.
Hold on. What's the front thing on the front?
Your
mermaid statue?
Your figurehead.
This girl could have been the mermaid statue.
The prow, I think.
The prow that you put taped to the front of your boat. Hold on.
Just wait.
You could have duct taped this girl to your boat.
You could have fucked this girl on a boat and you didn't because you thought about how your dancing wasn't correct or some shit. Ugh. This makes me sick. Because this could have been a person. You could have made love and then the condom had an accident and you could have had a person.
And that person was like the next Martin Luther King Jr. Mm. Or it also could have been the next John Wayne Gacy.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Okay, it became a Paul Harvey story.
He probably what if I fuck this person and then it's John Wayne Gacy that comes out, not the person themselves? I think I would see that. Dude is huge.
What if this person turns out to be John Wayne Gacy?
I didn't notice.
So foolish.
You're wearing clown makeup. You're covered in kid blood.
Ugh. You got me again.
Let's continue this party under my basement. Can we not, John? The party's
John,
fine.
Can we just spend a night on the couch watching Netflix?
The other thing that is important to remember, that it is more negativity to cure your anxiety, is that no one thinks about you ever. Mm-hmm. No one ever thinks about anybody other than themselves. If you're worried what people will think, don't. They don't. They're not thinking about you. They don't care. You're the only one that's caring, and you're caring more than everybody else.
I would argue that in this situation, like, not doing it and being like, is making her think less of you than if you just got out there and been a bad dancer. Because now she's thinking, like, what was the big deal? Why didn't that guy like me? Like, why is he being so weird?
You made her feel bad about herself. Mm-hmm. She doesn't pick up a guy at a bar. They didn't make the baby that would ultimately save the world. This is what I measure things in now, by the way.
Right.
But I do love that it's only like a 3 or 4 step process.
Yeah. That's
right.
That's,
and there are only 2 degrees of people. Either it's the next Gacy or the next King.
It's one of those two. Always.
Always.
I think everybody. There actually was a Paul Harvey story about like an abortion clinic where it's like two women came in and one got an abortion and one didn't. And the one who got an abortion, her son was going to be Picasso. And the one who didn't, her son was Hitler. And that's the rest of the story. Paul Harvey was a fucked up guy.
Man, yeah. Travis, that is the funniest bit you've ever done about abortion. You might have picked your top five abortion bits. That is definitely in the top five.
That didn't come from me. That came from Paul Harvey.
But it came from the Paul Harvey that doesn't exist in your fucking head. Via the transit of property, it came from you.
It came from the Paul Harvey that's so fucking stupid. He thinks that people who get aborted, we somehow can predict what they would have been.
It was a what if. It was a what if, you guys. It was a what if. Okay. It was a what if story.
Pop this abortion in the what if machine.
And now you know the bullshit I made up. Okay, Paul.
I'm Paul Harvey, drunk as fuck. Please, wouldn't it be crazy if... Hey, pass that bong over here. Wouldn't it be crazy if a woman had an abortion and her baby was like Jesus or some shit? That'd be weird. And now you know a fucked up thing.
That I made up. Man, Paul, you have not lost a step in your old age. Even though you think that cucumber is a radio microphone, you have not lost a step. Paul Harvey, radio titan, full of shit. Maybe dead. Possibly dead, I don't
know. Not sure. Definitely on the run.
Dead as Dan Loria wishes he was. Paul Harvey, total asshole. Abortion fetishist. Liar.
Professional bullshitter, Paul Harvey.
Real asshole, Paul Harvey.
You want to go to the money zone?
Yeah.
Try to stop me. Travis, how weird do you like it? You don't know. That's the problem. And it's a problem that we're all facing because we haven't gone to extrememestrains.com and gotten ourselves some sex stuff. For sex.
Yes, but let me throw this out, Justin. I hate to derail your hilarious goof train, but what if it wasn't for sex?
What if it wasn't for sex?
We got a customer review, a confessional from a listener named Meg. She works for an artist at a video game company, and they call other guys over to check their computers to review what they're working on, and sometimes haters are going to hate, and they just won't leave you alone. And so she brought a drill-a-hole fucking machine at a discounted price using the Midlist coupon code, and that's what she uses to drive away haters.
Oh, sorry, haters.
Haters. I've got a fucking machine.
Hey, HR? Hi, this is Griffin from the podcast. There's some shit happening under your fucking nose that you let a fucking machine... You let a drilling fucking machine into your office, and somebody is using it. They have weaponized it.
She has a special carrying case that, like, she pops the latches on. And I imagine at this point, like, that's enough for them to go.
Human resources.
Oh, gotta go.
She made a holster for her fucking machine that she brings into work every day that you haven't noticed.
So, extrememestrains.com is an adult superstore and a great place to pick up a thing to scare people that will probably get you fired.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get everything on the site 20% off using the coupon code MIDDLEIST. That's right, MIDDLEIST.
They're running a special promotion right now on dildos where if you buy 10 dildos, then you're going to feel great when you get all those dildos in you.
It's not That's a conventional a promotion.
Special.
But
well, put in the coupon code 10 dildos inside, and then buy the 10 dildos. You're not going to get any kind of discount on it. Only for the coupon code MIDDLEIST.
Just type in the coupon code Quiver of Dildos.
Mm-hmm. If you can get all 10 dildos in you, and you take a picture of yourself and you send it in, then they will have that of you.
Not to us.
For
the love of sweet baby Jesus, not to us.
Unless,
if you craft yourself like a dildo bandolier,
right,
and then use them to fight crime as like the dilder.
Mm-hmm. The Dilbert.
The Dilbert. That would just be awesome.
Head to extremerestraints.com, use the coupon code MIDLIST, and get fucked.
Hey, folks, this is Kevin Allison of The State and the podcast Risk, where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. X-rated stories, outrageously hilarious stories, tear-jerking stories. You won't believe how real and raw and surprising Risk can be. You've heard people say, ooh, too much information, don't be sharing that in mixed company. Well, at Risk, we say screw that. Anything goes. So you've got a treasure trove of jaw-dropping entertainment to dig into, my friend. Look us up at MaximumFun.org, or of course, just go to podcast at the iTunes store and search for Risk. Risk!
This Yahoo is sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Obese Catholic, who asks, is it safe to let a horse live in my bathroom? That's it.
Okay, well, depends on the size of the horse.
Safe for you or safe for the horse?
These are both great questions.
What's your flooring situation?
Mm-hmm. Is it a first floor bathroom or a second floor bathroom?
Do you know any people who will ever come over to your house and use your bathroom?
Not anymore.
Because if you do, a pretty good goof would be to pretend like there is no horse in that bathroom.
A what? What did you see in my bathroom? Pardon me? Excuse me? That's my sacred space. That's where I store my 10 dildos.
What exactly are you accusing me of, sir?
Sir? That's gonna be my mother-in-law. Sir.
How dare you?
Oh, good day.
You racist.
I have to go feed her some oats to cheer her up.
The shenanigans that this situation would lead to. I literally, if this podcast was 6 hours long, I couldn't enumerate them. There's so many possible shenanigans. He's going to eat all your TP.
Uh-huh.
Because
horses. He's going to use up all your hot water.
Yeah.
He's gonna shave. He's big. He's a big horse.
He's gonna shave his face, and then he's gonna have like a regular skin face, and a hair body all over the rest of him.
He's also gonna get in the shower while you hide in the closet and do voiceover for him and make whoever's pooping think he's Mr. Ed. No.
No.
Nobody would poop around the horse. Nobody would walk into the bathroom and be like, oh, a horse, huh? Well, if there's one thing being seated and pantless around a giant 400-pound monster with chitinous feet.
The horse is in the shower with the shower curtain drawn and the water
There's no reason.
The person comes in and says, oh, sorry, I didn't know someone was in here. I was just going to use the bathroom. And you voice over it, go, oh, yes, of course, use the bathroom.
And then
when the horse sticks his head through the curtain, you're like, oh, I see that you're shitting.
Travis, horse, dick. Travis, horse. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're being a real Paul Harvey right now. I can't imagine any scenario in which you could lure a horse, a full-grown horse, unless we're talking like a little spasm situation, a full-grown horse into your bathtub. It is not happening.
More importantly,
what if you had a carrot?
Okay, no. Listen. They're not discreet creatures. They are not God's most. They're God's most beautiful, and they're God's most brilliant and soulful creatures.
And killable. Uh-huh. The and most killable. Yeah.
So most destroyable fucking, creature.
Yes, but they are not what you might call stealth. They are not stealth animals. God made it so they can't sneak up on you because He put.
So what you're saying is you need a really opaque shower curtain.
He gave them. Oh God,
Travis.
He gave them percussion on their fucking feet. You're gonna hear them.
You got to put down the little rubber fishes so they don't slide all over the place.
Nobody's ever walked into a barn and been surprised by a horse's presence. Turn the corner and be like, oh my God, I didn't know a horse was in here.
Travis, do you know what they call a ninja that rides a horse?
What's that?
A corpse. Because they can't sneak at all.
It's really dark, Justin.
Yeah.
Sorry, ninjas.
You took it to a really dark place. Our whole ninja contingent is going
to Sorry, complain. Anybody who's listening and also a ninja. I didn't mean to be such a Paul Harvey.
Might be fun, though. Dress him up in a little suit.
For like a day, it would be the best.
That's the thing. It would be great for like 10 minutes. Or another good goof is somebody comes over for dinner and they're like, holy shit, there's a horse in your bathroom. And you go, oh shit, he escaped from the kitchen. Wait
a minute. The worst thing about having a horse in your bathroom is that you are going to be desperate for somebody to see that shit. And from the moment they come over to visit, you're going to be looking at him like, oof, how's your bladder feeling a bit full?
Do you want some coffee and bran?
Did you need to poopy?
You need to make dirt? Hey.
Hey.
You need to make dirt?
You're looking a little bloated. You mean make dirt?
You need to make dirt? Go make some dirt.
No, not down here. Upstairs.
Why would you put the horse in the upstairs bathroom? And not because
I only have a half bath downstairs, and there's no goddamn way I'm getting the horse in there.
Okay.
Come on, Griffin.
Come on.
You've been in Justin's house.
Use your brain.
That goof is also on a time limit. You need to get them in the toilet. That horse is going to give you maybe 5 minutes of silence. if you slap some peanut butter in its jaws. And if you take him on a long, beautiful ride for several hours in the countryside, getting real worn out, maybe he'll stand still for you for 5 minutes. But after that, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm. Horses are noted assholes, and they like to feel majestic at least three times an hour. Mm-hmm. So if you go for too long without making them feel or look majestic, they're just going to start whinnying, and then the goof's over. Then you're a weird guy with a horse's bathroom, not the Prankster Supreme 2013.
But so good luck.
If you can pull it off.
Oh, God.
If you can pull it off and take a picture and send it in to us, we will give you the title of Goofmaster Supreme 2013. We will give that to you. We'll send it with a big novelty check for as much money as you want.
The check means nothing.
The check will be worth money. This is what I'm saying. If you can pull it off, you can have everything.
You can have the check.
The world is yours.
The hat. Oh, there's a hat.
Listen, do not take it to a Photoshop and have it Photoshopped, because I will know the difference.
If you take a picture of a horse in a Photoshop, that would be awesome.
I will also accept horse in a Photoshop. But I have to know that it's original for us. The horse has to be saying, my brother, and me. Or making
and holding mouth. Today's paper.
And holding today's paper in his... No, he's holding tomorrow's paper in his mouth.
And we've got an early edition tribute. Love it.
Oh, man.
You guys want another question here?
Yeah. Let's
see what I got. I'm 20 years old, and while I'm fortunate to have my parents pay my tuition, something I'm very grateful for, I try not to rely on their financial assistance as much as possible. I just got a text from my dad saying he put $100 in my bank account as a gift for a rainy day. While a hundo is nice, I feel bad for taking the money. Should I just give him the money back as I step towards independence, or should I take the gift and go with it? That's from Mr. Wants to Be Independent.
Ah, that's so cute. That's so nice.
It's really nice. Just take it. What are you...
Take your dad's fucking money.
Take your dad's fucking money. He earned it, and it makes him happy to give it to you.
If you were 46 and your dad dropped a hundo on you, I see you going, hey, Dad, you're in a home. Please don't give me your money anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm literally paying for all of your care. This is coming directly out of my account.
You take that money.
Just take the money. Your dad is trying to do something nice. Don't worry about it. Trust me. He'll get sick of giving you money soon enough.
So soon.
Squirrel it away.
Do you like have a do you have a job?
Here's my opinion, guys, and this is just for me. I think if your parents are paying the bulk of your expenses, I think that like trying to strike out on your own is is noble, and I think that trying to secure your independence can be really great for your confidence. But like if your parents are already paying the bulk of your expenses, like that, you know,
it's a futile gesture.
It's a pyrrhic victory if you're like, no, I won't take your Benjamin. Like, just take it and then get yourself on your own two feet as soon as you can.
And also, I mean, helpful advice, there's a big difference between having to ask your dad for money to pay for something and your dad just being like, hey, because I love you, Here's a present.
Have a Benjo. You've been a good son. You've been a good son. This is your good son reward. Just take it and go buy some Pokemon cards or some shit.
There is nothing that there's nothing unindependent. There's not dependent. That's what I'm looking for. There's nothing dependent about someone giving you a present.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's just nice.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal.
That was easy. Next one.
That's easy. Here's more advice. I just moved into a new apartment building. I'm loving everything about the upgrade in space compared to my last place. However, my next door neighbors have started ruining my excitement by playing their music TV all day, every day. Now, here's the thing. They aren't blasting it by any means, but the bass is audible enough to hear in my apartment. It makes watching quiet movies hilarious because it's hard to appreciate a haunting scene where Philip Seymour Hoffman with a quiet in the background. I can usually drown it out by playing my TV and music, but then I risk annoying my downstairs, upstairs neighbors. The short version. Am I right to be so annoyed with this barely noticeable noise, or am I just a premium rush? That's from Irate in Illinois.
I would argue that it is more annoying to have it barely audible.
Oh my god, yes. Have it
super blasting.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
No.
Because if it's super blasting, you can roll next door and be like, hey, turn it down.
Well, can you? Can you, Superman? Is that something you're
big tough genie?
Is that something you're capable of doing, Liu Kang? I did not know I was brothers was a superhero.
Turn it down.
Are you implying that politely asking your neighbors to turn something down is such a scary experience that only Liu Kang could accomplish it?
I'm saying to have the bravery to confront anybody for any reason is a super.
Okay, you know what? I'm laughing and making fun of you, but you're absolutely correct. I think whenever something like that happens, everybody instantly turns into Charlie Brown and goes, I'll wait. I'm sure it'll be fine. They'll move eventually.
That might just be because the three of us have the kind of type J personalities that never help you get along in the world.
But the number of times in my life that I say things like, you know, I should go say something. I mean, I'm not going to, but I recognize that I should.
This is one of those moments where if I had a dick,
I would definitely use it.
We had, you guys should get Sydney as a wife because, boy, howdy, she does not suffer that. We were in she used to stay at that apartment. You guys remember that apartment that she used to be in on 6th Avenue next to Marshall?
Yeah.
We were there and, her downstairs neighbors, like, took this to its logical extreme and did the most insufferable thing in the world, which is to, at all hours, especially like 2 to 3 a.m., see me really joyous, would blast Sublime's Santeria.
Oh, that's a good one, though.
Deafening like, volume.
On loop?
Yes, like, oh my god, they're listening to fucking Santeria.
I'm getting to the deepest levels of it. Play it again.
She would just
I'm hearing it.
She would just get on her hands and knees with this cast iron pan that we bought. It was the first thing we ever bought together, actually, and she would just pound on the floor with it. And then one night she eventually got sick of it and went downstairs and started banging on their door with a cast iron skillet and told them to turn off the goddamn Santeria. Because it was the only song they listened to was Santeria.
And now
constantly.
You guys can't make love unless you listen to Santeria by Sublime.
Totally weird. Totally weird. Totally true.
Hey, man, we're all right there with you.
Yeah, listen. This is no Paul Harvey stuff. This is real.
No, this is real. I have upstairs neighbors that, I swear to God, they've got like kids that are like 5 and 6. At like 3 o'clock in the morning, those kids are running in circles. I don't understand it. It blows me away. And it will wake me up. But not enough to tell him.
My fucking backyard, John Hammond, I wish he would make a noise. I wish I knew what that fucking dude was doing back there ever.
Any one clue.
Give me one thing. Give me one thing, dog. If I heard like a weird, like full brass klezmer band coming from there, I'd be like, oh, okay, so he's like just some sort of weird klezmer guy. But it's not that. It's not that. I can't fucking crack that nut and it's killing me.
You're not going to know until it's too late. You know that, right? You've accepted that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only noise I'm going to hear is the chainsaw that he's ripping through my spine. That is the first sound from him I will ever hear.
You're going to have time to think, is that P. piano wire? And then just, your air is gone. You're blacking out. You're done.
Ah, man.
You got another Yahoo, Griffin? I mean, is that where we should go now?
Yeah, we can take it here. This Yahoo is sent by Joe Ruscio. Thank you, Joe. It's by Yahoo Answers user R, who asks, is it cool so see a boy sagging their pants?
Whoa.
If you like it, what type of underwear should it be? And how low? If you don't like it, why?
I'm sorry. I need the thesis statement one more time.
Is it cool so see a boy sagging their pants?
Okay. Is it cool to see a boy sagging
their pants? Which is great, because it's not asking if it's cool to sag, because the answer is, of course, still and forever.
Is she asking like a bird-watching question? I saw another one today.
It's a good cool. omen. Make a wish. It's like the cowboy on the Tootsie Roll pop wrapper.
But what you don't want is a boy sagging his pants to, like, be outside your window, because then someone in the house is going to die.
That's true.
Shh, look at the foot of the bed. Look at the foot of the bed. It's a boy sagging his pants.
How's
your aunt doing?
When I sag,
call your aunt.
I just go commando, which is not a.
So you just have your balls out.
I have my butt and half of one ball out. And it's not a popular thing at the mall to do.
No. What I do is
I sag my pants and then I have another pair of pants underneath. And it looks like my pants are molting.
Shedding. And sometimes you wear snakeskin pants, which really heightens the effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best time I ever saw a boy sagging his pants was when I was watching The Three Stooges. And this, in the movie...
are you talking about
Larry or Mo or
in
Curly?
In the hit film.
In the hit film, they see someone... Curly sees someone's pants sagging, is an African-American gentleman, and he says, hey, buddy, let me help you. Your pants are falling down. And then he pulls them up. And I thought, it's 2012.
You also thought, this is the most racist thing I've ever heard.
This is really crazy. This is really wild.
You also thought, why can't I stop masturbating?
I also thought, why is it 2013 and I'm watching this movie for a second time? That is another thing I thought last Saturday. That's one of the other thoughts I had. And then I thought, this joke is still pretty racist and not a joke, really, so much.
So the only thing that happened, and if we may tangent into this, in the movie, the joke
tangent?
A logical step. The joke is just referencing that the young man is sagging his pants and Mo doesn't realize that it's been a cultural thing for like 30 years.
Right.
And attempts to pull them up. That's the punchline?
Yeah.
Cool.
Is it possible for us to continue this bit without sounding like the script of Old Dogs? Is it possible for us to get out of this episode without sounding like three Tim Allens?
Travis, are there any other bits in Three Stitches you'd like me to clear up for you?
I still haven't seen the movie, so it's like hearing tales from a foreign land.
You still haven't seen Three Stooges?
It is on my bucket list.
Didn't you want to get ready for the Oscars?
Best sound mixing, I think, was on there.
Yeah. Best yucking?
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
Best Did you guys think poorly the veiled racism?
I think the In Memoriam was kind of lame this year. You guys think so?
I don't know who died.
Not a lot of, like, good people died.
A lot of B-stringers.
A lot of B-stringers.
A lot of cinematographers,
Can we all just agree to make a commitment to have more awesome people die this year?
Just, can we get some good people to die this year?
Listen, I'm not saying anything, wink nudge, but I'm just saying I'd like a really blockbuster In Memoriam this year.
We could talk to them about adding people that haven't died yet.
Uh-huh.
How fucking crazy would that be? Fucking Mickey Rourke up on the screen, like, in the audience.
And then cut to Mickey Rourke going, what? Oh, no.
Shit. No, I'm here. And then cut.
Can't you see me? Can't anyone see me?
The whole night's about trying to convince Mickey Rourke that he's a ghost.
I'd watch those Oscars. To me. And then, like, the only person that can see him is Bruce Willis, and he just shits his pants.
By the end of the night, James Cameron's like, and thank you for this Oscar for Avatar 2. And he's jumping up and down behind him, waving his hands. Please, someone, if you can see me, call somebody.
I'm not ready to go.
I'm not ready to go yet. I have so much to do. At least turn me into a snowman like in Jack Frost.
I need to tell my son I love him.
I need to tell my son
I love
him.
Like the documentary Jack Frost that I saw.
Please, if anyone knows a voodoo priestess,
I promise to be a good Jack Frost, not like the killer kind, the killer one Jack Frost movie. Jesus. Snowman, killer, snowman. I'm done. I quit. I gotta go back to work, guys. I'm done with this podcast.
Same.
Okay.
This has been My Brother Me. It's an advice show for the modern era where we do it. You heard it. You know what we do.
You know how we do.
You know how we do. Thank you for everybody tweeting about the show. Unless you tweeted to ask where the show was today, because that really gets on my nerves. I'm glad you like it, but come on.
Hey, dog, you can't rush perfection.
Can't rush it. You.
For real, though, I've had a real bad poopy bug.
Griffin has had real like mud butt
the lately.
Griffin's butt fell off.
I've had the worst poopy butt like for a week now, and it was pretty touch and go there for a while. That you were about to send that
by to which he would touch something and then he would go in his pants.
Anytime my physical form touched anything, I had to be suspended in the air.
Thank you to everybody tweeting about the show. Thank you to Rachel, that's Branson Atron, Elliot Binder, Chris Daly, Beef and Blocker, Mark Brown, Adam Ford, Anders Clem, Jordan Dahl, Prince Cabbagehead, Danielle Farless, Joel Kelly, Complicated Wasp, Hepsy. So many people tweeting about the show. Thank you. Make sure if you tweet about it, you use the hashtag MBMBAM and you include our sampler link. It's bit.ly/ it's my bim bam. I want to say a thank you to Jonathan Barnes, a friend of ours who works at COSI and took me and Riley and Sydney on a sort of behind the scenes tour.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I know, it was so much fun. We gotta do a show there sometime soon.
I know, right?
Columbus. So thank you to him and thank you to everybody sharing the show and getting other people interested.
And be sure to check out all the other shows on Max Fun. At this point, you know all of them because I assume all of you are listening. But go to MaximumFun.org and check it out. And while you're there, get the information on BoatParty.biz.
Jesus.
It's a fucking Jesus. Max Fun cruise. Drink it in.
It's bananas, this mm-hmm. cruise.
It's going to be crazy. The Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival. Get there.
I'm thinking about going because I just got over poopy butt, so I right, can't get it. I can't get the norovirus again.
Mm-hmm. And the good thing is, since Mark McGrath canceled his cruise, they've just added Gin Blossoms and Spin Doctors to the Max Fun cruise. So it should be pretty fun.
Did Mark McGrath cancel his cruise because he knew that people being on a boat and listening to Sugar Ray was like a diarrhea cocktail?
He actually said, his direct quote was, "The poop cruise did us no favors."
Which is great, because I bet the poop cruise would be like, "The Sugar Ray cruise did nothing for us."
So anyway, thanks. Griffin, you got a special thanks to John Roderick, right? That's usually what we say now.
Yeah. You usually say something about thanks to the Long Winters for letting us use their song "Ace of Departure" from Putting the Days to Bed.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do it.
But you just did all of it. Was that the bit?
Oh.
So thank you for listening to our show. Make sure to join us again next Monday.
If you want to have a shout out on the show, if it's like somebody's birthday, or if you just want to say congratulations to someone, or if you have a small business, or I guess a big business. I mean, we're not going to discriminate. And you want to have us do a shout out for you in the money zone, just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron.
Get there. Griffin, take us out.
I am ready. This final Yahoo answer was sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Catherine, who asks, opinions on the name Pretzel for a girl?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Pretzel.
This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips. I
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.